Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
To the show on a Wednesday, Fesco, Mac, and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan. If you know, you know.
Anthony here too?
I don't know. Like, I've just been like captivated by this Roman Anthony stuff.
I am with you, man.
Top prospect in baseball, gets his first hit last night. Family steals the show.
Oh my God, they're awesome. His sister is a medical student. She's going to be a doctor.
That's nice.
She is going to go far in life, I can promise you that.
Is her name Anthony?
It is not, but his dad is.
His grandpa?
And his grandpa's Anthony.
And
Anthony.
His brother?
Anthony.
And his name is?
Anthony.
Okay.
They're all Anthony. And that is not a joke. I thought that was a joke this morning when I came in and somebody's like, oh, Roman Anthony, who's with the Red Sox right now, his dad is named Anthony. And I'm like, that can't be the case. No, sure it is. The guy's name is Anthony Anthony, and his son is named Anthony Jr. And I do believe the grandpa is Anthony.
Oh, no way, dude. What? Yeah. Now,
that's awesome.
Go to Twitter.
Oh, I saw his sister.
And go to @GoblinTown. That's what it's called. And look at the photo of Roman Anthony. Like, you know that when the waitress walked down there all at the same time, every single one of them said, how you doing? Like, every single one, dude.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is awesome.
It's not as good as Tommy DeVito's family because they got the agent with the fedora, but it's pretty damn close.
It's right there.
These guys are sitting at table one at Jasper's.
No doubt. Yeah.
These people definitely call marinara gravy.
Gravy. It's Sunday gravy for them.
Their olives still have seeds in them.
Oh.
That is some rich Italian blood right there, man.
The only negative thing about this is they're all Buffalo Bills fans, and so they can all go kick rocks and whatnot.
Fine.
Yeah, so they can all go kick rocks on that one. But no, his sister stole the show last night. Woo. His mother erupting in tears when he had that base hit last night. It's pretty cool. I love the first stuff in Major League Baseball. It's always so much fun to see the reaction from the family and whatnot. But I mean, and Dusty summed it up perfectly. He's like, there's two women here, and they are surrounded by every male in the family.
Dude, you're not dating Roman Anthony's sister, man. Good thing you're engaged.
Taken.
Dusty, you ain't dating her either.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
I'm here to take Natalia out. Take 2 steps that way.
Yeah.
Take a left. There'll be a guy to pick you up. He's going to take you back where you came from. You got it, capiche?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Don't call me sir. You call me daddy.
Yeah.
Yes, dad. Daddy. Bye.
I mean, it's so good.
I remember you. It's before us. You get out of here.
Who is it? Goblin, you said on Twitter?
Yeah,
it's Goblin Town. Just @GoblinTown. Okay.
And then his Twitter was just Gob. And then _Agul. No, I'm kidding.
But that was the show in baseball last night. I'll tell you that right now.
No. The show in baseball was.
Aaron Judge is on a pace this year, folks. Ready? For 58 homers and a .396 batting average.
Matty, he's going to go deep right here. The way he took that pitch right there, I mean, this is going to be loud when he decides to swing.
2 balls and no strikes. Oh, you called it, dude.
There it is.
Oh, my gosh. That was on top of their
hall. That ball was nuked.
So not only did this guy call that, that was your and I's reaction as we sat right next to each other when he hit it. It was almost like when DeAndre Hopkins dropped the pass in the Super Bowl, close the notebook, and just sit back and enjoy the rest of this.
Oh, yeah, that thing was over. It hit
on the fly. Like, I've never been knocked out in my life. I'm sure there's a lot of people that would line up for that. But, like, that was – when that ball went, that was Noah Cameron from St. Joe. Like,
yeah,
that
right,
was
yeah.
– like, you see something like that, it man, that's foreshadowing for the night. That ball was – 469 and 117.9 off the bat.
And if the of wasn't in the way, that thing may have traveled out of the ballpark, because that thing was hit as hard as I've ever seen a ball in person hit before. And I've been to a lot of baseball games in my career, and seeing that ball, I've never seen anything like that before. It was the third longest home run in Kauffman Stadium history. The Mike Trout home run, I think, was number one, and there was another guy that hit a home run. I'm drawing a blank right now. I saw it last night, who hit one a little bit further.
That was in the same area as Trumbo's All-Star game. Home run derby.
Yeah, exactly. Pujols used to put some up there against the Hall of Fame, but I've never seen one hit the of in Hall of Fame
on
like it did on the fly last night. It was a remarkable home run. But like last night at the ballpark, like nothing was off to a good start. The traffic was brutal. It took us well over an hour to get to the game. It was awful.
Yeah, dude.
You leave the house at 5:15 for a 6:40 game, and you barely make it.
Even
that's
Alex
crazy.
Is like, damn, Bob really gets. He cuts it close. I'm like, yeah, I figured he'd be here by now.
No.
You know, national anthem, not there.
Right.
Coming up in the first pitch, still not here. They get down there. I mean, the traffic.
It was brutal. I mean, and the thing was, there was no construction. There were no accidents. It was just people yesterday.
Damn.
Rush hour coinciding with 30,000 going out to the ballpark. But, I mean, it was a brutal mess. We left at 5:15. The original trip thing on the Google Maps said 5:59 arrival.
No, you got there like at 6:35.
Correct.
Yeah.
And as we sat, it just kept getting longer and longer and longer and longer, and nobody's moving, and longer and longer and longer. Like, I have not seen. So I knew right from the get-go, I'm like, if I could turn around, I'm going to get back home. This
did
is ridiculous.
Did you drive or did she drive?
No, I was driving. Okay. Yeah.
It's always better when you're in traffic when you're not driving.
Oh, see, I disagree.
Oh.
Yeah. I like to be kind of in control. And
okay.
But my wife is always like, switch lights, switch lights, switch lights, switch lights. They went from Pollock to Cod. Switch lights, switch lights, switch lights.
She's like the dog going out for the ride.
Yeah, right. I'm like,
we're
not switching lanes. The only time I did is because I was behind a truck that was dropping pebbles and stuff, and I didn't want to get hit with that, so I moved over. But that should have been the omen for the game. And then it finishes with Q on the mound last night. I don't know who the hell that guy was that came in late that looked like Mac Quattrero pitching. I mean, it was like somebody's dad they rolled out there. But, yeah, it was one of those games, and I looked at Vern's text line, a little overreaction in my opinion. But I think last night for me was one of those games where you had the opportunity to make a first impression on a lot of people, and it just wasn't a great first impression last night at all. It just was not a great first impression for a lot of folks last night, but that's the beauty of baseball. You lose one, you get back at it today. It doesn't matter how many you lose by. It's 0-0 when you take the field today, and you got another opportunity. Just don't give up a home run to Aaron Judge that's still traveling to Omaha at this point in time.
Bobby Wood Jr. is the best baseball player in the world. Watch this guy.
Yeah.
Nice seat, punk.
Yeah, geek. Yeah. Who was the guy that called it, though, on TBS? Who was that?
Oh, gosh.
Because that, I mean, I know David Cone was doing the game last night, or Mac will tell us it was, you know, that was Harry Carey or something that you looked at, right? He's calling the game. Because yesterday he was convinced Bob Costas was on the call.
Yonder Alonso.
Mm. I mean, that was such a great call by Yonder Alonso. What are the lottery numbers, Yonder?
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think what you say it was. You said it. You got kicked in the nuts basically last night.
I think it was a chance to make a first impression for a lot of fans last night. Right,
okay.
There were 30,000 fans at the ballpark. A lot of people have been hearing about the team.
What type of first impression?
I think a lot of fans went to the ballpark for the first time last night, and you lost 10-2, and they went, "This team stinks."
Okay. I would say that the season starts officially now. Like, now your season, if you want, like, I think you're still a game and a half out of the playoffs in the wild card. You're not winning your division, okay? Like, if you think you're winning the division, stop. Stop looking at that standing. Stop looking at the 9 and thinking that that's what your playoff chances are, because that's not what they are, okay? Let's call it what it is. This is a up and down roller coaster wild card type of playoff team.
Mm-hmm. As of now, if they go out and get that bat that they desperately need,
right,
maybe that changes things.
And they are still that away. Okay, last night, not good.
Right. Two bad pitches. Austin Wells, who just continues to just destroy the Royals. Mm-hmm. He hits a 3-run homer to make it 5-0 or 5-1.
5-1 at that point.
Yeah. Aaron Judge hits one all the way to the FCA building if he could have.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that's what it is. Also, to take a positive and not just be negative, that was Max Fried on the mound.
Yeah, he was
and
really
And you
good.
Gave Max Fried a 5-1 lead. Okay. I'm sorry.
Once you gave him a 2-0 lead, yeah. It was pretty much over at that point in time.
That is a top 3 pitcher in the American League. That is a top 7 pitcher in baseball.
I mean, he's been unbelievable. I remember when the Yankees signed him, the naysayers that were saying, oh, he's lost it. He's not going to be as good as he was in Atlanta, right? Like, there were people, honest to God, that didn't think that was a big signing for the Yankees, and Atlanta was able to get rid of him at that point in time. Oh, the Yankees overpaid. The Yankees overspent. For Max Fried. Max Fried,
there's no such thing.
I mean, the guy's unbelievable. He is just an unbelievable pitcher.
9-1.
And he makes people, I mean, how many broken bats, Texas leaguers, bloopers, all that kind of stuff were in that game last night? I mean, you know, the first run of the game is a shattered bat by Cags roller to second base. I mean, everything was sawing guys off. I mean, that's how you know somebody's dominant, when you see shards of bats going everywhere last night. And other than who, was there any solid contact on the ball at all last night by Max Fried? I don't think so.
And the other thing, too, is that's their ace. Now you have Clark A. Schmidt, and then some Will Warren guy that's got a 5-3 ERA. You get to throw out Bubich and Lugo. If you want to be a realistic Royals fan and you want to look at that and say that, you know, here's what I thought the series would be. If they're going to win 2 or 3, I like Wednesday and Thursday. Okay, that's fine. Was last night gruesome? Yes, it was. You got knocked the F out in the 3rd round.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's a 12-round fight. It was over in 3 rounds. Sometimes that happens. But here's the reality of it. All the BS, all the fun stuff, all that, it's over.
It's over now. It's all about winning ball games. Made his the Cags thing is done.
Mahomes and him have seen each other. They made the eye contact.
Right. Carlton danced last night. It was there. Fantastic.
It's over. Now go. Now you got to go do it.
Is Carlton at the new dinner theater? Is that why he's in town? Or like that was just a random sighting of Carlton at the game last night?
He gives me new Norm vibes. The side character that had more of a career than any other side character that you know. That like Norm had a really long career outside of
Cheers. The guy was working until he passed away 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Carlton, side character, Fresh Prince.
But what else has he done besides like show up at ball games and dance to Carlton?
He's the host of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, that's right. He is America's Funniest Home Videos. Yeah, dude.
So he's got that gig.
He does. Like,
he's just hanging around.
Yeah, he really is. But why was he at the game? Like, is there some sort of Kansas City connection or a reason why? Or did he just want to come and watch? Because he was wearing a Yankee jersey last night, you know, with his kid. And
a Judge one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who else are you going to wear? I mean, you can wear out there in a Wells jersey or, you know.
Fried.
Maybe a DJ LeMahieu jersey. You thought he was retired 6 years ago, 7 years ago?
And the lady next to me decided to tell me, he's 36.
Yeah, she did all right. She was putting a dollop of ketchup on every fry bite.
Every fry.
Every single one individually with ketchup.
Everyone.
Wow.
I mean,
dedication.
I mean,
got a chicken wrap in the top of the first, didn't even touch it till the fifth.
I was going to say, she didn't even eat that thing next to Dusty last night. I mean, I was like, this chicken wrap is still wrapped. I had the BLT. It was delicious. Thank you very much.
Nice.
Delicious BLT. Mm-hmm. It's actually a BLTC. They had a slice of cheese on it. And then Alex Gold, who pre-ate and then ate at the game because it was dollar hot dog night. So he had 6 hot dogs. I've never seen anything like this. Oh, 2? Was it 2?
But they were coming down in troves, man.
I didn't realize it was dollar dog night. Like, everybody's ordering hot dogs. I'm like, why is everybody ordering, like, double hot dog? Oh, it's dollar dog night.
Yeah, that makes sense. No chance.
So, yeah. Once Judge hit the home run, though, everybody's ordering dollar beer night. Would have been outstanding to get through the rest of that one. But we had some guy that looked like Q pitching at the end of the game. That Taylor Clark guy, is that what his name? Taylor Clark, who pitched for us yesterday, that got roughed up in the 6th inning or whatnot last night. He stung.
Yeah.
He was pretty brutal. But I appreciate Q leaving him stay out there, though, honest to God. Mm-hmm. And you made this mess. You get the hell out of this mess. I love when managers do that. We're not wasting another arm because you went out here and pooped the bed, pal. Get your ass ready and get out of this mess. That guy only had to get one out, and I think the whole order batted against him.
Yes.
High and tight to Jazz Chisholm is all we need tonight.
Oh, did you see his reaction?
If he tags like that again, I'm going to slap the blank out of him.
We got some good jazz audio, some jazz audio that we're going to play for
you. Let the good times roll. Yeah, that guy sucks. Put one in tight on him.
Just, I hope tonight there's a brawl. There may be a brawl tonight, and that may be just what this team needs.
Q, nice to join the show. You think you'll throw one up and in on Jazz Chisholm in the bottom of the top of the second?
You know, Binkley would.
Oh, let's get to that at 6:45.
Yeah, I can't. Binkley's like champing at the bit to get in here and talk about Jazz Chisholm and putting one in his ear hole.
That's right. We'll talk more about this game last night and what the text line had to say about calling Aaron Judge home runs, because apparently it's not that hard to do. Here on 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Mac Morey with you as well on a Wednesday. We'll have Jay Beakley in about 25 minutes. Mac Cotrero, the Royals manager, at 9 o'clock, as always on a Wednesday. Last night, Royals lose 10-2. Not the greatest performance. Patrick Mahomes in attendance, right there to see Jack Caglione's debut at home as well.
That's cool. That was cool.
Good to see that, you know, you got Mahomes out on a Tuesday night. 30,000 fans in attendance to see.
Great crowd as well out there last night, man. That really was. You could feel the buzz. And we were kind of commenting on this during the game, and I don't know if anybody else realized this or felt this way out at the game. Every pitch to Cags in that first at bat, I've never heard a crowd quiet like that before.
Silent.
I mean, I have never heard an entire crowd. You could hear the hum of the crowd normally, right? Mm. And then as soon as the pitcher was ready, and then the pitch would happen. I've never seen a stadium get silent like that, where literally no one was saying a word for that first Jack Caglione at bat. And that's too loud. That is way too loud.
Yeah, Likens library voice for is
that,
too loud.
That exactly, way yeah. too loud for something like that. So I thought last night it was like people were there to see Cags. People wanted to see what he was going to do, and you know they were dialed in to watch that kid pitch. And as you said last segment, it's now over. It's now normalcy, and it's baseball. And they've got to find ways to start winning some games. And somebody did on the text line say fight, you know, with the team. And sometimes that does happen, and sometimes you need that. And what better team to fight with right now, honestly, than the New York Yankees and Jazz Chisholm? Because this guy has been nothing but a heel for the last, I don't know how many months it's been, roughly a year, since he told the Royals that they were lucky last year to get that win in the postseason. Came here, he gets booed, everybody ha-ha-ha him, and then he slides into third, and he gets tagged by Michael Garcia, and he says, if he tags me this hard one more time, I'm going to punch him in the face. I hope somebody slaps a tag on Jazz Chisholm in the next 2 days, and we do see a bench-clearing brawl, because I do think it would be good for these players. You go back to 14-15, and you talk to people from that organization at that time, and they said it was that White Sox fight with Cane Holyo that kind of, you know, set people off and brought that team together. And I'm not saying you go out there and you're fighting and it's a fisticuffs, but it's one of those things that galvanizes your team. All right, fine. You want to go? Let's go. And it creates an energy and it creates an excitement. And I think sometimes, you know, it's good to get into a little fisticuffs like that. And I think this team kind of needs it right now.
Chisholm is going to start in center field.
Thank you, Keith.
Chisholm is going to start in center field.
The correction is where it's at. Yeah, he's the one that goes viral last night because of the too hard of a tag to the top of the dome.
I mean, you're getting the ball and it's a quick motion. Like I'm not sure if Jazz understands how it works, right? The guy's sliding in, and you want to get that tag down as quickly as possible. As soon as you catch that ball, it's a hard object in a leather glove. Yeah, it's going to hurt. This is not Little League. This is not nursery school. This is not romper room. We're not going to nicely tag you and say, would you like to be out in this situation? Suck it up, Jazz. Seriously, suck it up, Jazz.
Chisholm is going to start in center field.
You said you wanted to read something on the other side.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about texts from last night during the Vern show, some of which were overreaction. This one, I just wanted to hear what you guys think. Maybe you guys can help this guy out. I think there's a lot of texters like this in the text line who are just down bad, for lack of a better term.
Sure,
down bad right now. This is from the 913. Vern, yeah, sure, Salvi's washed. Washed. But there's 96 games left of futility. Sure, the Royals botched the Cags call-up and cost themselves lots of money and an extra year without arbitration, but there's 96 games left. Sure, this pitching staff's no longer what it was the first 45 games, but there's 96 games left. Mm. Yeah, sure, the Royals haven't had a home winning series since they played the White Sox at home, but Chiefs opening day will be here fast.
Okay, that's an interesting, you know, text to Vern. And look, everybody was kind of feeling that way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people in their feels. I will say this about they didn't botch the Cags thing at all. And here's the reason why. It ain't your money, right? Like, and the one thing that we have seen is that John Sherman will pay players. And so if they brought Cags up and you want to lose this arbitration year, whatever it is, the Super 2, however you want to phrase it, if they lost that year, so what? John Sherman's pattern has been, if there is a player that performs, they will pay that player. We've seen it already with Bobby Witt. We've seen it with Cole Reagans. We'll probably see it with Chris Bubich this offseason if they don't end up making moves or whatnot to try to avoid an arbitration year with him and just pay him and give him some money and maybe sign him to a long-term deal. Like, this organization right now is not run like a Glassian organization. This is John Sherman running the show. And what David Glass did does not apply to where this team and where this organization is right now. And I've been trying to preach that for a while, okay? This is not your David Glass Royals. Stop viewing everything the way that we did when David Glass ran this team. We have basically received a new organization, new life with John Sherman, new life with the way that he's gone about his business. And so you can't say they wasted the Cags call up or they blew, because I totally disagree with that. Bobby's playing better. Definitely Vinny's playing better. There's life. There were 30,000 people out at that ballpark last night. There's not 30,000 people out there last night if Cags isn't playing in that game and making his home debut. That was a good call up at the right time, and it's going to take time. You don't just walk into the big leagues and do great. You saw Roman Anthony's debut, booting him out in the outfield. It's a hard game. I don't think people realize how effing hard Major League Baseball is, and that jump from AAA to the big leagues is gigantic. Jumping from, you know, the United States to England, it is a huge gap. And so he's been here a week. If you're already writing the book that it was worthless and it wasn't a good move, don't watch the rest of the year because you've already got your mind made up. But this isn't the Glassian Royals anymore. This is the John Sherman Royals, and he has already shown from the day he walked in here telling Dayton to go sign guys like Carlos Santana and just spend money because I want people to know that I'm going to spend money. Why are we worried about that? We should not be worried about that. And as a fan of a sport, you shouldn't be worried about the business side of things anyway. It's not your problem.
All right, so the text again, it's been a while. They're just basically being passive-aggressive, right? Like, we have 96 games, but we're this. We have 96 games, but we're this. But we have this, and then there's, you know, training camp is what they said starts soon.
Yeah, pitching staff's not what it was. You know, Salvi's washed, all these things. Cags was a mistake.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so find something new to bitch about is what I would say. Go find something educational to bitch about. Because the only reason that you're talking about Cags' money thing is because that's all you've heard about with Cags and other people that have something to bitch about. That's not your original thought. Go find something different. Go tell me that he's doing something wrong because he's hitting 241. Roman Anthony just got his first hit. Roman Anthony got called up before the deadline.
The Brewers called up one of their top prospects. The White Sox over the last week have called up multiple top prospects. Everybody in baseball is now calling up their top prospects because fans want to see him. The White Sox have even gotten rejuvenated by calling up their top prospects. The fans are buying into it. The Brewer fans yesterday, they called up their top pitching prospect. Everybody's losing their minds. We want to. Roman Anthony in Boston got called up. Everybody wants to see these top prospects. To think that the Royals made a mistake because you're worried about arbitration, that's ridiculous, man. You got way too little going on in life if you're worried about arbitration of this guy in like 4 years from now. Who the hell cares?
The other thing that I will say as well is that I will say this. Like, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. No one's telling you to come along this ride. No one's telling you to have fun with this Royals season. But when it does get fun down the end, I don't want to see you come back. Like, I don't know what to tell you. This is what this team is going to be. It's going to be a roller coaster. It is going to be an up and down. It is going to be a potential wild card team. They're going to win anywhere from 83 to 85, which is what Vern told you the other day, that 85 will get you in. Look, I mean, Cags hitting 241. He actually raised his average last night if you want to be that optimistic. He made a great play at first base. If you stuck around and watched it, he got a hit in his last at bat. Everything is going to be exactly what they told you was going to be.
He had a hit and an RBI last night. Like, what more do you want in a game?
Exactly.
And one thing to help your team win. He did multiple yesterday.
And, like, the other thing, too, is that, like, and I like this text as well, like, you're a fan. You're not a business staff member.
Well, they all think that, though. The nerd baseball fan thinks they're in the front office and all that stuff matters. It doesn't.
And the other thing that I don't like are these super down bad people on Twitter that are like, man, every time I bring my son to the game, they get their ass kicked. I'm just done doing it. Stop going to games. I don't know what to tell you.
Every time I bring my son, they lose.
Go to Clubhouse Convo. That's all this guy can do is just be super negative. Oh, when there's 30,000 people there, we lose.
Well, that's because people feed off the negative, and it's human nature. And I don't know why that is. The older I've gotten, the less time I have for the negative side of things. And I look at stuff from a lens of, is this bringing me joy? Am I enjoying this? And if the answer is no, I just move on. I don't worry about it.
If it's got you, again, last night was not fun. It was 10-2. I get it. You got your nuts kicked.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. You played against Max Fried. That's their ace. They don't have Garrett Cole. They don't have the other guy that's down with Tommy John surgery. They're also the freaking Yankees. That was Noah Cameron from St. Joe. That was not Noah Venezuela last night.
No, it was not. But yes. Even Fernando had some games where he wasn't that
and
good.
Even sometimes the pitching's not going to be there. You were spoiled with 2 months of electric stuff. They probably still have a top five ERA in baseball. But to nitpick every bad thing along a 162-game schedule, you have Bubich tonight and Reagan's tomorrow. Maybe let's see what happens. The guys they have thrown have a 3.5 ERA and a 5.4 ERA, and their records are decent because they're the Yankees.
They know how to hit, yeah.
The Yankees have the second best at scoring runs. They're the first in every other offensive category when it comes to hitting. That's just what it is. They are the standard. You know, I'm sure Buffalo gets tired of losing to the Chiefs, but I bet a lot of their fans don't sit there and be like, I don't know, man, we just shouldn't have given Josh Allen that contract too early.
I wouldn't imagine that there was one person saying that in Buffalo, and I hope there's not saying that in Buffalo. But I will say from a fan's perspective, this offense has been brutal with runners in scoring position all year long, and that's the area where they aren't getting the job done. Now, how do you fix that? That's the million-dollar question, right? And if I knew the answer to that, I'm sure I would be hired and the Royals would say, here, what are we going to do? It's simple. It's C-ball, hit ball. And I think after talking to people around baseball over the last week or so, they've been saying kind of the same thing, is that there's just a lot of tension. They're playing tense. They're not playing relaxed. And you've got to play these sports relaxed. You can't go in there trying to do too much. And I think, as George used to say, they got a case of the try too hards right now. And rightfully so, because they haven't been good from an offensive standpoint. They are better than the league average when it comes to overall batting average. But when it comes to runners in scoring position, when it comes to that they call that situational hitting and getting that big hit, they're not coming through. And I think it's because they're all putting so much pressure on themselves. That's why they need a slump buster. They need a fight. They need something like that to just kind of clear their minds. Chicken wings at Henry T's back in the day. Whatever the case may be, they need one of those type of things. And I think that's, I think, why fans are mad. I don't think last night's game is forcing people to jump off the ship. I think the overall course of this entire season is like, I expected more. And from an offensive standpoint, they're just not getting the job done. And fans are okay to be upset about that, because I'm upset about that. It's hard to watch this offense play right now. It's not exciting. They're very, very, very inconsistent, and they struggle big time with runners in scoring position. And now this is a 2-month sample size. And so what we're looking at right now is a team that if you don't get good pitching, you're just not going to win that day. For the most part, we've gotten good pitching. Hard to hold up good pitching. Eventually, the offense is going to have to come along and start to carry their weight and carry their water. And again, this is not a finished product. The Royals knew that in spring training. They've been actively trying to acquire a bat since January, since December, since November, whenever free agency began in Major League Baseball. They haven't been able to land that bat yet. It's not because they aren't trying. Think about it at this way. You're a salesperson at work, right? You've been working on this big fish client for what? Sometimes maybe it takes 2 years before you're able to land that big deal and before you're able to land that big client. But you finally do. And I think that's where the Royals are. They've been working. They've been laying the groundwork. They've been trying. It's not because of a lack of effort. Now you have teams that are starting to fall out of the race. We're in June. It will open itself up a little bit. And I do believe they're going to try to go out there and continue to get a bat to make this lineup better, because they have to at this point in time. They don't have enough bats in this lineup to be a consistent contender. They have enough to be right around a 500 ball club, but they have to get better. And they know that. And they're going to do their best to go out there and add bats to the equation. And so that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. But if you're upset, I get it. This offense has been really, 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 really tough to watch when they got runners on base. And that's not being negative. That's the truth.
I mean, their last seven games, they're averaging 4.4 runs a game. So, I mean, they're starting to hit the ball for more production. But again, I emphasize this again. Last night, they went up against Max Fried, okay? Now, if they go lay an egg in these next two games and their pitching is abysmal and they have two of their best pitchers on the mound, then yes, we can have the discussion of like, all right, they're below 500. This team looks like it's in its you know, darkest point of the season. Then yes, we can have that season. But when Max Fried's on the mound and Aaron Judge hits a home run 370 feet or 470, 80 feet, whatever it is, and the other guy, Austin Wells, who apparently looks like me with a mustache, hits a three-run bomb and it's 5-1, game's over. Stop. Every time I bring my kid to the game, they get absolutely kicked in the teeth. Who cares? Your kid's going to go to 90 Royals games. Sometimes they're going to get the blank kicked out of them. Golly. And if that's the way that it makes you feel, then maybe the baseball season ain't for you. If you claim to be a big fan, maybe baseball ain't what you're trying to drive through.
Now, again, Max Fried, great last night, but then you lose to a guy named Davis Martin with the White Sox. Like, nobody knows who the hell that guy is. And I think last night was just kind of the compounding of 2 months of watching this team kind of struggle offensively. More people were paying attention last night. They didn't put out a good performance. More people saw it. More people are going to complain. More people are going to get upset. That's just the human nature side of things. I mean, and again, that's fine. You can react that way. You can have that reaction. I just don't think that reaction from last night that we're seeing from a lot of fans is just based on one game. I think that was the culmination. They had an opportunity last night to win a lot of fans over, and they went out there and they laid an egg. Again, you have another opportunity today, but that was an opportunity last night, and fans are fickle. They have other things going on. Maybe a lot of fans last night said, this is our game. We're going to go. Let's see what they can do. And they left there with a sour taste in their mouth. That's normal. That's human nature. So I just think right now the Royals have to kind of just go back to the drawing board, figure some things out from an offensive standpoint. And now this is kind of where we make that paradigm shift and say, baseball's every day. If something great's going on, we'll have to talk about it. We'll have to cover it. But right now the Royals, you guys are kind of out there trying to figure your next step, kind of figuring out where you're going to go. And hopefully you do. And I think they will. I think they've got good people in place. They got a good, calm manager, thank God. They've got a good general manager who's out there busting his hump and doing all those kinds of things. So, you know, it's going to be fine. But, I mean, yeah, Max Fried, but who the hell's Davis Martin? And why did you lose to him on Friday in Chicago?
I don't know. I guess I don't get that.
Well, you said they lost to Max Fried. I'm saying, but they also lost to Davis Martin. It's not like they're losing to Max Fried every night. They're not hitting anybody. It's not just an ace.
Yeah, but I mean, according to you, nobody's hitting baseball.
With runners in scoring position, the Royals are almost like dead last.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I mean, I don't really care what the rest of that's what I tell my kids. I don't care what the other kids are doing. I care about what you're doing. Mm. And so when I look at what the Royals are doing, they're not very good offensively right now. It doesn't matter if it's Max Fried or Davis Holland or whoever's pitching. They're not getting hits. It's not because Max Fried pitched last night.
They're getting hits.
They're not getting hits when they matter. Oh. They're not getting – well, yeah.
But I mean, in the last 10 games, they're averaging 4.5 runs a game.
How many wins do they have, though?
They're 4-6. But again, like,
I don't care. You got to find ways to win these games. You've got to find ways to come through. And it's not, they didn't lose that game because of Max Fried last night. They're losing games this year because overall, the grand scape of life that we're looking at with this Royals team, they're not very good offensively. They're not very good with runners in scoring position. Not good when it matters. They're not good in those clutch situations. They've got to get better in those clutch situations. And so far this year, it hasn't mattered who's been on the mound in those clutch situations.
Yeah, I mean, agree to disagree. I mean, Max Fried beat the Royals last night. I mean, that two runs, he was dominant in his left hand. He went 7-6 hits. I mean, that's just, it is what it is. So, I don't know. We had a discussion yesterday about TJ Watt saying that, you know, he should get paid. Because it is kind of interesting in Pittsburgh. TJ Watt's waiting to get paid, but they let Aaron Rodgers drag him through the mud the entire offseason. You have 1 year left of each, TJ Watt, Travis Kelce. Would you trade one for one Travis Kelce for TJ Watt? Yes, no, hell no.
How many times has Carrington voted yes?
You can only vote once. Yeah,
he's making burners as we speak.
Yeah, TJ Watt for Travis Kelce.
R.
Yes.
Brenton one, R. Brenton yes, two. Exactly. Washed, he's washed!
Pushed. TJ Watt for Travis Kelce, yes, no, or hell no. Again, it's 1 year. Next year, let's say it's their last year in the NFL for both. Yes, mm-hmm. no, hell no, on the Fan 965 on X. Let us know. Coming up on the other side, Jay Binkley will join the show, and we'll see what he thinks they should do with the Yankees tonight when it comes to getting fisticuffs, when it comes to baseball's fights on the diamond. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan.
Back here on 96.5, The Fan. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you, and now joined by our guy, Jay Binkley. Binkley, you want to see a fight tonight at Kauffman? What do you think?
Yeah, it's about time, man. It always inspires everybody.
It when does.
They're fighting on the field. It brings that team camaraderie together. And, you know, no better team to beat up than the Yankees. Team that beat you in the playoffs last year. Everybody looks and loves the New York Yankees. It's time for the Royals to fight. It would be great.
And they've got the perfect heel to do it. And that's the other thing about it. You got, you know, your guy Jazz Chisholm in town, and they have an opportunity to fight a guy who's been a heel for them. It was a heel yesterday, complaining about getting tagged too hard and all that kind of stuff. So I'm with you, man. I think it's time to go. Let's roll.
There's some tough guys on this team, too. I mean, Kyle Isbell, that dude just seems like a real scrapper if he's in a fight.
Yeah, like he's probably the guy on that team that you don't want to get into a fight with because he doesn't care.
Or Lorenzen, but I don't know if anybody'd fight Lorenzen. I don't know if pitchers would really fight, but Lorenzen would be pretty damn good, too.
Yeah, he would be pretty good. All right, football is coming, Jay, really, really fast. A lot of teams got their OTAs and whatnot going on, mini camps. Josh Simmons, what do you think about him and the progress he's making right now?
Well, I like the stuff I'm hearing. You know, Matt Nagy was really high on him the other day talking about him. He's getting out there a little bit with team activities and everything, but you know, it's good what you're hearing. We'll just see what happens when you get to camp. Because I think, you know, it could always be one of those things. Well, we're putting them on physically unable to perform list at the beginning of the season. But who knows what's going to happen. Anything can happen any day. But I love hearing about the progress for him. And he's buying into what they're doing. Everything they're saying is great. So that part's good. We'll see what he does when we get to St. Joe. And hopefully he competes in St. Joe when he's up there. But I just like hearing good news rather than bad news. It's much better than the Bengals and Shamar Stewart is not even practicing.
Well, yeah, okay, that's outstanding. And we can get to the Bengals here in just 1 second. But overall, the offensive line, even if Simmons isn't the starter, where's your confidence level with them?
It's much better than it was probably 2 months ago because thinking about Kingsley, you know, moving the guard and the things you hear about Kingsley and how it's really been, you know, good for him this offseason and what he's doing. And again, words are words. Actions speak louder than words. But, you know, hearing good things about Kingsley, of course, we heard good things about Kingsley going into last year when he was starting left tackle. But this is year number two in the NFL. It's a big difference having 1 year under his belt. But that was the big concern. I mean, you know how good Creed Humphrey is going to be. You know how good Trey Smith is going to be. Juwan Taylor, I mean, he has a lot of penalties, but does play well at times. We'll see what happens with Juwan Taylor. But I was really concerned about the left side because that's how good the team's going to be. They're only going to be as good as that left guard and left tackle for the Chiefs, protecting Patrick Mahomes, giving him the time to throw, and then helping this running game out as well. So, yeah, Josh Simmons, to me, that's the number one thing to look at in St. Joe, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. We know what these receivers can do. We know what this defense can do. We don't know what this left side of the offensive line can do with the left guard and left tackle. So I do like what I'm hearing from what's going on. We'll just see if Josh Simmons, and again, asking this guy to come off that injury and play right away, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be an easy transition for him. Don't expect him to come out and light things up right away. It's going to take a while.
Binkley, we asked a question on our text or on our Twitter poll today. Next year, 1 year only, would you trade Travis Kelce for TJ Watt?
Yeah, because T.J. Watt, I think, is at the top of his game. Duke had 10 forced fumbles the last 2 years. He had 6 last year. He has sack production, 11.5, a couple years removed from 19 sacks. But, yeah, he's a difference maker. I mean, T.J. Watt, while he's on that field, dude makes a difference, and he forces fumbles, puts your offense back on the field. But in my opinion, he's at the top of his game, so I think it would make sense. Now, not saying Travis Kelce hasn't helped this team a ton, which he has. He gets 90 catches a year, what, 8 straight years, which is an unbelievable feat. But T.J. Watt, to me, is a game changer, and Kelsey's 5 years older.
Yeah, and he is, but I still take Travis Kelce for one more year. I'm not giving up this senior year of Travis Kelce, Jay. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun because Worthy's got a year under his belt now. Hollywood Brown, hopefully, is going to be healthy in that mix. Maybe you get some one-on-ones with Travis. He can do his thing. Where are you looking at the wide receivers right now with Hollywood Brown and also with Xavier Worthy? Who's going to be the bigger step forward?
I'm excited about what they have to see what they go. Really, Hollywood Brown, because we know what he can do in his career if he can stay healthy, if he can stay on the field. With that's been a problem with Hollywood Brown. And last year, I was excited about seeing what he could do and seeing if he could put up those contract year type numbers. I mean, he is 29 years old, so it's going to get to a point where, or 28 years old, but going to be 29 before the next season. What's he going to make? Is he going to make big money on the open market or what? But Hollywood Brown, there was a lot of expectations for him. As a matter of fact, that's why he kind of backed off Xavier Worthy during the draft process, because Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy are very similar type players. But he's a down-the-field guy. He's a game changer. Looking forward to him, I think Xavier Worthy takes that big step. We kept seeing big steps taken by Xavier Worthy. Beginning of the year, he was having trouble, you know, being on the sideline, getting the football, staying in bounds, just the small things that were getting to him. But by mid-year and then towards the end of the year, we saw Xavier Worthy really break out. And then in the postseason, saw him as the Chiefs' leading receiver. So I'm really excited to see what year two brings with Xavier Worthy. And I think in tandem with he and Hollywood Brown, then Rashee Rice, when he's on the field with them, I think there's some exciting things with these receivers if they can stay healthy, and then add Jalen Royals into the mix. I'm excited about it. Again, it's great at the top. They look good at the top, but injuries can do a lot of different things with this offense. But really looking forward to seeing what Hollywood Brown can do, and I think Xavier Worthy takes the biggest step of anybody.
When you look at the order of weapons on this offense, where does Travis Kelce rank?
Ooh, see. I'd put the receivers ahead of him. So I'd put Worthy, Brown, Rice. I'd say 4.
Fourth?
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, well,
no, I'm with you, Bink. I think I totally agree. I think he's I think he's going to go under 800 this year. I think he's going to have 6 or 7 touchdowns. I think it's just going to be a decent good year for Travis Kelce. I don't think it's going to be anything that blows people away.
But the one thing to watch for, he always gets 90 catches. Like, he's got the streak. In his career, he's got 8 straight. He's the second guy in history to have at least 8 catching seasons of at least 90 catches. So he is very extremely consistent, at least getting you 90. Now, he's not getting the yards and the yards after catch like he did in the past, but he's an extremely reliable pass catcher.
No doubt about it. Binkley?
No, I was just going to say, Jay, we got finally the Aaron Rodgers sighting in Pittsburgh. What do you think about that? Does it work out there and make them a contender?
He's married.
Well, it has to. I thought this was actually going to happen around the draft. And it certainly thinks, there was a wink-wink situation with the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers, because they certainly drafted like they really weren't going to go after a guy, anybody else in this draft, even though they did bring in Will Howard, because Aaron Rodgers was going to be that guy. It was a matter of when, not if. He seems to be doing the right things to that offense. They need him. I mean, they need Aaron Rodgers. This Pittsburgh Steelers team hasn't had a losing record. They go out and draft Caleb Johnson at running back. That I think is a perfect fit for the Steelers. You bring in DK Metcalf. You don't make these moves to not have a quarterback. And they had to have it. Hey, you have the draft in Pittsburgh next year. This draft has got a lot better quarterbacks in it next season. I look for the Pittsburgh Steelers to make a move in the draft next year to bring in a future quarterback. But I think they needed Aaron Rodgers to keep the thing rolling this year. I think this team has some talent in that schedule. The Steelers, very conducive to wins early in the season. So, I think he's still got a little bit left, and we'll see what happens. But this is not a move that they needed to make. They had to make this move.
Binkley, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday, my man.
All right, fellas.
Take care. Jay Binkley there joining us as he does every Wednesday. Matt Cotrero will join us at 9 o'clock a little bit later. We'll give it to you now. The Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question is up. Would you trade Travis Kelce for TJ Watt for this year? 50% of you have said yes.
Wow. So Carrington and Rob are voting in mass.
118 votes, 50%.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You say yes. Shocked. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to that poll question, and then we'll get back into what the Royals could potentially do to answer your offensive woes here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what you up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.